Hey, welcome. Thank you for joining me today. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and you are going to learn from a smart person today. I know that because it's actually in her name. Her name is Lisa Reed, but her first name has an extra E in it. And from what I understand, that E is for extraordinary. So we have an extraordinary guest from whom you are going to learn a lot. Lisa is one of those people. She is a speaker who has booked and delivered over 500 speeches. She coaches entrepreneurs how to get booked and stay booked. She is passionate about teaching you how to get your message heard so that you can make a massive impact on those who can benefit from your expertise. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Rob. Very excited to be here.
You bet. So let's talk about this. If you don't mind giving us your backstory as to how did you get here? Did you start out as a speaker, or is speaking something that came later? How did that all come about?
I actually always had a desire to be a teacher. I noticed even when I was a little kid in gymnastics, I wanted to be a gymnastics coach, and then I wanted to be a kindergarten teacher. So it was more about teaching than speaking. And I would always weave that into whatever job I had. I would notice I'd like, I'll write the training manual. I'll, you know, take all this information and make it easy for everyone. And let me give you an example of how I can do that. But I did end up getting my bachelor's and master's degree in speech communication. And I ended up teaching at Cal State Fullerton, which is in Southern California. I ended up teaching there when I was 22. I taught interpersonal communication. So I did get to be a teacher. I still feel like I'm a teacher, but there was something about speaking also that clearly was ringing my bell.
Right.
And
Okay. So it's interesting. I feel like you and I are a little bit of a kindred spirit with this. When I was a teenager and was kind of working through what am I going to do with myself when I grow up, a friend of mine said, you know, it really doesn't matter what you do, you are going to be a teacher. And I think that there is that desire within people like you and I to say, I know something and I would love for you to benefit, to gain from this. And there's really to see the problems that are out there and to say, listen, I want to teach you how to handle those. I don't want to solve them for you. I want to give you the equipment. You know, I want to teach you how to fish, not give you a fish. Which
I say that all the time. Oh my gosh. I say that all the time. Even Get Speaking Gigs Now, my company, it's not, I'm going to get them for you. I'm going to show you how you can get them, because then you don't need me forever, right? You'll be empowered no matter where you live, no matter what topic you speak on, you can do it. And I love that.
Yeah. So you've gotten over 500 speaking engagements. All right. And I'm going to let the audience in on it. You've got at least one secret that helps you with this. Is it okay if I ask you to share your secret?
Yes. Yes, of course. So this is what I consider the number one secret to getting booked and staying booked. If you want to be a speaker and you want to get your message out there. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my gosh, I want to do that, then listen up. And this started very organically. Back in 2013, I created a group called the OC Speakers Network. I live in Orange County, California, so OC. And I did that because I thought, well, I'm out here speaking, and I bet I could probably offer some help for some folks, and they could help me, and we could all play together and really collaborate and connect. And through that, a very important relationship was created. And another woman I met, she speaks about the same amount of time as I do, or amount of, you know, times a month. She was someone I knew, liked, and trusted. I took her workshops. She took my workshops. Like we got to know each other on a deeper level. And also she speaks on something that isn't in competition with me, but we had the same audiences. And through that, I realized she became my speaker soulmate. And when you link arms with another speaker who meets those criteria, they speak around the same frequency as you, you know, like, and trust them, and they're your kind of peanut butter to your jelly, you know, they speak to a similar audience, but they're not your competition. That is a gold mine. She has referred over 100 speaking engagements to me, Rob, like, meaning like red carpets rolled out, doors wide open. I get a yes. And it's so much easier and so much more fun to play that way than to submit tons of cold calling, you know, proposals and trying to call speakers or places that would have speakers and they don't know who you are. That's just not super fun. And so this way you can stay booked and you just got to find that speaker soulmate.
Okay. So let me just ask this question. Are you talking about speaking as a way, as an additional revenue stream? Are you speaking about, are you talking about speaking as a way to build your business and establish expertise? Is it a way to market your services and have people buy in? When you're talking about speaking, it seems like there's a lot of different ways that this could go.
Yes. And I would say yes to all of those examples. The lane that I particularly stay in, and yes, you are correct, there's so many different ways that speaking can be considered. The lane that I like to be in is really the entrepreneur, that business professional who has a calling to speak, and they want to use speaking as a way to market their business, attract their ideal clients, because it's fun, because it's like, not only is it fun, but there's this thing that happens that I've noticed with people who want to speak. And it is literally like this tapping on your shoulder that just gets louder and louder. You must get out there. You must share whatever this knowledge is. And it helps to attract those clients that are best suited for you to help. So it's like a deeper thing than just like, oh, I want to have people hear me talk. It's like, I want to really give back to what, give the gifts I have of speaking, because it's going to help transform someone's life and it's going to build my business at the same time.
Okay. There's a lot to unpack in what you just said. But let me say this. Okay. First of all, you said that speaking is fun, and I'm assuming that the people that you work with are people who have the concept that I think speaking would be fun, because there are some, Jerry Seinfeld makes the joke, right?
Yes.
About speaking being the number one fear in America, death being the number two fear. So at a funeral, the guy who's giving the eulogy is more afraid of what happened to him than the guy in the casket is of what happened to him. So there are people who are just going to say, speaking is not my deal. Do you work with just the people who think this is fun, I've got a calling for this? Or is there a way to help the people who are kind of like, speaking, I'm a little bit trepidatious about this, I'm a little bit cautious. Do you work with them also to help them kind of work through the process to see this can be a great tool for building your business?
Yes. Rob, I'm not an arm twister. You know what I mean? I don't force anyone to do anything. Usually people come to me because they have that calling. It doesn't always mean that they think it's fun. It's the calling, the message gets bigger than the fear, right? It's like all of a sudden, like I may not have dreamed, oh, I want to be a speaker, but all of a sudden I have something that does need to be shared. So that's one piece. I don't particularly focus on the fear of public speaking because there's so many great organizations for that. And there's people who can specialize in that. Typically, the people who work closely with me say, I really love being up in front of people. I enjoy it, but I want to learn how to be more effective doing that. So I don't spend a lot of time helping them overcome those anxieties. However, there's lots of layers to fear. And I call the fears that speakers have, even people who think it's fun, even people who enjoy it and are called to do it, have fears. And I call that the speaker's kryptonite. And that can sound, so signs, how do you know you're suffering from speaker's kryptonite? You are still working on your talk, quote unquote. You are wondering who would want to hear my message. I don't know where to go to speak. I'm going to write some more content. I need to do more research and putting things off and procrastinating. And so even people who enjoy speaking suffer from that as well. And I do definitely work with those issues.
Okay. It makes a lot of sense. I had a guest on, and I'm trying to remember who it was, that basically talked about one of the keys in marketing is not only identifying who do you work with, but who you don't work with. Because it makes it a lot easier for, making the right connections and for people to say, okay, this isn't my jam. This doesn't work for me. Okay. But do you mind? You talked about the speaker's kryptonite a little bit, which to me means that, it means speaking is a superpower, right?
Yeah.
And that a superpower that you're using for good. And we kind of, I talked about this a little bit and asked, but let's talk about what are the things that you can use your superpower for good with? Does that make sense?
Yes. One of the missions that I have, like why I'm on this earth, it seems to be clear, like this harkens back to what you were mentioning earlier today, earlier in our conversation about like how no matter what you do, you kind of always end up being a teacher. No matter what I do, I always end up being in line with this belief, this mission about we all have gifts that we've been given, you know, all of humanity, each person. And when you give that gift, you are literally raising the consciousness of all of us. And so for me, it's like, I feel like one of my gifts is helping people share their gifts so that they can then go help more people.
Yeah, I love that idea. And let me just take it a step further. Sure. And that is because it is a gift of you, you give it of yourself, but you're not depleting yourself by doing that. All right. You're enriching other people. You're giving them, you're raising their consciousness. You're raising their expertise. You're raising their understanding, but it's not like somehow, you know, you share your gift and you are somehow lessened by it. It's the rising tide that lifts all boats. You are forming relationships. You're forming, you're sharing with people who are then doing better as well. So you talked a little bit about getting booked. Your number one secret is find a speaker friend who serves the same people, but in a different way, and kind of work that buddy system. When you are working on getting booked that way, do you have secrets on, okay, getting the gigs and then staying booked?
Yes. So one of the things that people tend to forget to do, and this is maybe the unsexy side of speaking, right? The sexy side of speaking is being on the stage, yes, and being with people, and you get to do what you love and all that stuff. Well, there's some other things that are behind the scenes, and that is setting up your system to follow up with people, being consistent in your follow up with people, being organized, showing up on time, all of those things, doing what you say you're going to do, not losing the contact information or letting those opportunities slip through your fingers. Honestly, if everyone just did that, everybody would be, you know, any speaker who wanted to be would probably be booked on a regular basis. Half of it is seeing the opportunities and then knowing how to follow up with those opportunities.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I don't know. Are you a member of National Speakers Association? It doesn't matter either way. I am. And one of the very first presentations I went to, a guy named Steve Gilliland said his small tip is constant communication with the meeting planner, even so much as if he's, and in those days it was in-person events. And he says, when I show up at the hotel, I will let the meeting planner know I'm here. And you know, just the small things to keep communication there so that they're never wondering like, where are you? What's happening? What, you make it easy for them. And I'm assuming that that's what you're saying. As long as you make it easy for the meeting planner, they're going to want to work with you. Is that right?
Well, it's a really small world. And so part of what I teach in my speakers training academy is making sure you have all the things. I'm a big fan of be ready to be ready. You need to, if you want to get booked, you need to have a talk ready. You need to have it in a format that you could easily get to that person. You need to explain it in a way so they don't have to do a whole lot of hard, heavy lifting to figure out, are you a fit for their audience? Like, make it easy for them. Make it easy for them. And then, of course, you got to deliver on what you said you're gonna deliver. And those things go a long way. They really do. And I book speakers for my own events. So I know as well, even though I teach this, not all speakers get those things into me when I ask them. Sometimes I have to ask them two or three times, which I find absolutely mind-blowing. And no, I will not have them back on my stage because that's just not how I roll.
Yep. Okay. What you're talking about right now, though, is something that's really important for anyone who has a desire to speak. And that is there is so much more to speaking than just getting up on stage and sharing the knowledge and the expertise that you have. There is a whole process side to it that goes from getting booked, making the connections, to getting your presentation. Sometimes you have to get your presentation approved for continuing ed credits, and you've got, you know, there's so many different things. And then once the presentation is over, you're not done then either. There's a whole follow-up process that goes there. It's all about making sure that the people that booked you are happy and thoroughly satisfied with what you've done. And on that topic, can you just talk about that? Is there like a simple list that you can say, like, this is what meeting planners and speaker bookers, is that the right word, are looking for?
Yes, I think I have a bunch of different checklists that I give to my clients. And a lot of it is, so this is a little bit sideways of your question here, but one of the things that people, yes, are focused on is their content. They're like, oh, I've got to make this. A lot of attention is put on the content. And of course, that is very important. And then, like you said, there's all the other things. And because my focus is mostly with entrepreneurs, my number one question is like, what's your offer going to be? And sometimes, this is why I ask this question, they're like, oh, I forgot. I don't know. What should I do? I just put a slide in at the end. Is that okay? And I'm like, no. We actually need to be intentional about what that offer is. Why are you doing this? Like, what is your purpose for being on this stage? And making sure that you are clean and clear and that you've made it really easy for your audience to follow that. So not only is it all the other things, that's usually my first question. We start there and then we make sure it's super clean, super simple, taken care of. I'm also looking at how does that person, like when I'm talking to my client, how do they feel about that offer? So it's not just what are you saying, what's on the slide. It's how do you feel about it? Because if your energy also is going to be contagious to the audience. So if you're anxious, worried, think it's too big, I don't know, have any hesitation, any gunk in there, that will come through to the audience. So there's so many answers to your question, but that's just what came up for me when you were asking that.
Sure. So what can you talk a little bit about that, about the offer? So we talked a little bit about speaking itself. We talked a little bit about kind of the business process side of getting booked and what to do about that. But when you're actually speaking, you're talking about making an offer from stage. Is that, talk about what that is. Is it a free offer? Is it an offer for to work with you? Where does that all go together?
It could be so many different things. I don't believe it's a cookie cutter model. This, again, it comes back to what experience does that speaker have? What confidence do they have? What is their business model? What makes the most sense for them? Where is their skill level? So I have those kind of conversations with any of my clients. And sometimes we stair step into something. Sometimes it would freak that person out so much to ask for any kind of monetary, you know, contribution from the audience that they would just forget, quote unquote, to give their offer. You know, I would say no one could do your pushups for you when you're on stage. You need to be 100% in, right? So what I want to do is make sure they're set up for success and that whatever that offer is, whether it's free, whether it's asking for some kind of monetary contribution, whatever that is, they feel really, really confident and really like, yes, this is an amazing value for the audience. And it has to fit. So there's so many pieces that go into creating that offer. But I like to back it up and go, what makes most sense for the audience? What makes most sense for the business? And of course, in that prep time, if you agree to this speaking engagement, it needs to be clear that that's okay. Whatever that offer is, whether it's free or asking for, you know, selling something literally from the stage. So all of those things need to be cleared up so that you don't have any question in your mind when you're on that stage. You just can go full force, no breaks.
Okay. So let's talk about this because you kind of mentioned it. There are some places that are no selling from stage. Mm-hmm. Is it okay to still do those? Is there a way to work that, or what are your suggestions on that?
Yes, absolutely. Again, it comes down to very clear communication with the organizer. And I have made, like recently, I had an engagement where it was a no offer situation and I generated $15,000 in sales. So, as long as you're speaking to the right audience, you're providing tons of value, you're intentional about what you're doing, and you're in line with the organization. Then you can have a home run.
Okay. And I'm assuming that a little bit of what you're talking about is, I think it's called seeding, right? Where you're mentioning things throughout, and whether if you have a free offer, you're dropping hints about that throughout the program. If you have a paid offer that you're not allowed to sell, you're still mentioning that, when I work with clients about, to overcome this, or when I'm working, I had a client who did this. In that way, you're not necessarily selling, but you're letting the audience know that this is what you do. Does that make sense? And is that what you're talking
Yes.
about?
Yes, and seeding, that's we're diving in here, Rob, because that's definitely an advanced technique. I
Okay.
actually was teaching a client about that the other day and she said, "Oh, seeding, like where they sit in the audience." I'm like, "No, seeding, SEED, like a planting a seed." And
Right.
it isn't something that we're born from the womb knowing how to do, right? It's not how we naturally talk. So this is where that intention comes back and practicing and knowing what seeding sounds natural to you so that you can start to develop a what I call conscious confident excuse me unconscious confidence around it, right? So you can do it without even thinking about it and just feel super natural.
Okay, and I want to key in on something that you just said there, and that is there are a lot of people who would say, like, I like to teach, I like to speak, I feel really good when I get on stage, and I'm a good talker, and so
Right.
just give me a stage and I can talk. That sounds very different than what you're talking about. Can you give some clarity to that?
I think that's like your baseline talent. Like that's typically what my clients will come to me. They're like, "I love it. I get so lit up. I just get so much energy from speaking, right?" And this is where the intention and the strategy also needs to come in play. Because if you are speaking in order to build your business, you need to have some strategy and intention, and it can still be fun, and it can still sound natural. And you should be having a good time and providing tons and tons of value to the audience. So it's kind of it's like all of it. But I think when you, as a speaker, especially if you're using speaking as a way to market your business, the more you have that aligned intention, the more confident you are and the less anxiety you have about being up there. Because like I said, even the most confident speakers still suffer from speaker's kryptonite. And if you're wondering like, "Oh, is anyone going to want this? Am I selling too much? Am I being too aggressive? Am I not being aggressive enough? Oh, I forgot to give my like all this little mind chatter that's happening will absolutely affect your results 100%. And then you might give up.
I understood. So if someone's saying, I'm interested, I think I want to do this, is there a baseline of these are the things that you need to do, need to have in order to make this work?
Yeah, I always say you got to start with my thing is you get your talk ready to rock. That's and I call it that because like I love rock and roll music, I love rock music, and so I say you got to get your talk ready to rock because if you are going to say, maybe you change your LinkedIn profile or your Facebook profile, and you're like, "I'm a speaker." Guess what the very first question people are going to say? "Oh, what do you
What do you
speak about?" And you cannot say anything. I cannot stand it when people say, "I speak on anything." I say, "Really? Do you? You speak on like refrigeration?" "Oh, well, no, not that." I'm like, you don't speak on anything, okay? So you need to be able to put that stake in the ground. And so I was recently I was helping a couple different clients this week getting their talk ready to rock, and one of my clients said, "Oh my gosh, that was so exciting. I can't believe you, this is amazing. I love it. I love it." And it felt like we birthed a baby. I said, "Yeah, you just birthed a baby." I go, "I guess I'm a talk doula because like I'm there with you. I'm like, we're working on it. We're collaborating. We're creating this thing." And I do consider talks organisms. Like it's like, oh, it's going to evolve and change and grow as you grow and change. And it was like super exciting. So I love giving birth to talks.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because, the inception, it starts with a thought, and then the thought begins to grow, and now it, as you add to it, it becomes something much bigger until it becomes an organism that is delivered, and fantastic. And let me just throw one other thing in there. I'm assuming that when you realize you don't speak about just anything, you also are realizing that you don't just speak to anybody. Is that right. Also part of it?
Absolutely. So that's the second piece. So A, you need to get your talk ready to rock. And in that, when I go through that process, we start at the end, we reverse engineer the whole thing. And we certainly have in mind who is the audience. In fact, I had a client yesterday, and she has two different streams that she could go down. Like, she has two completely different talks and different types of audiences. So I said, okay, which one is going to get you the results the quickest? Which one's like hurting the most? Let's do that first. Then you might decide that you want to create a completely different talk for that other audience, or you take the one you've already done a few times now and you can tweak it a little bit for this other audience. But yes, you need to have that audience in mind. So that's the second thing, is like creating that ideal speaking gig audience. Like, who are those people?
Okay.
That could benefit.
Yeah, no, understood completely. And I think it's a really important message, because a lot of people will say, I can talk, just give me the opportunity, and everybody needs to hear what I have to say. But when you get right down to it, you've got to really be able to identify who it is that you're talking to. I think we could probably go on for quite a long time. You've got so much information to share. If people are looking to find out more about you and possibly work with you, what's the best way to connect?
They can go to getspeakinggigsnow.com. That's gigs with an S, because of course you want more than one, don't you? You want to get speaking gigs now. So you're going to go to getspeakinggigsnow.com, and you can get 5 top tips to get more speaking gigs now. That'll just go straight to your inbox, and once you'll get the all the tips that you could possibly use.
Wonderful. I'm sure it will be beneficial for anyone who is interested in utilizing this tool that you've laid out for us. Hey, listen, Lisa Reed, you've been phenomenal. It is now time for 3 questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for this?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, what's the last thing that you binge watched?
Oh, I just watched Colin Kaepernick's In Black and White on Netflix.
And what'd you think?
That man is probably one of the most courageous human beings I've ever come across.
Very good. Very well said. Would you rather ride a bike, ride a horse, or drive a car?
Drive a car. I've done the other two as well, but
I'm assuming that the other two are a little, just a little bit too much work. And yeah.
And well, the horse, yeah, it that takes a bit, because you need to do it regularly. Otherwise your muscles are not quite used to all that. So it's actually can be an intense workout.
And you never walk funny after driving a car. If you ride a bike too far, if you ride a horse, whatever it is, those can leave lasting physical effects.
Absolutely.
All right. You mentioned that you are originally, in our pre-interview, you mentioned you're originally from Alaska. And you are now in Southern California. And I'm wondering, what food item is there that they have in Alaska and they either don't have it or they don't do it right in Southern California?
Well, you caught me at a good time. I just got back from my 30-year high school reunion. And whenever I go up to Fairbanks, Alaska, I have a few favorite things that must happen. And one of them is sourdough pancakes, which I think you could probably get other places, but Alaska really likes its sourdough. Let me tell you what, they take it very seriously. And the place, that restaurant that I usually go to get these sourdough pancakes, had closed like a week before for good. They've been open for decades. So I did track down another restaurant. I had a whole team of people trying to find these sourdough pancakes, and I did have sourdough pancakes. So check that off list. And then there's another restaurant that I really like, Food Factory. It's kind of your, bar food type thing. And they have this one sandwich that I just cannot get anywhere else. So,
tell me about the sandwich. What is it?
It's called the Di Special DI. I don't know if it was named after Princess Di because I've been having this sandwich since the 80s, but it has like a chicken tender in it. It's got like other kinds of, it's just incredible. I don't know. It's got like a couple different kinds of meats in there and a spicy, yummy, like mayo and cheese, and it's just good stuff.
Absolutely. So when folks go up to Fairbanks, make sure you stop in and get the Di Special.
Yeah.
Yep. It is highly recommended by Lisa Reed. And you can tell them, hey, Lisa sent us because she said it was worth the trip. Lisa Reed, thank you so much for being with me. To all my listeners, thank you for being here today. Real quick, I just want to ask a small favor of my listeners, and that is, if you are enjoying this, leave us a review on iTunes or make a comment on the YouTube video, whatever. We would love to hear from you. And when I say we, it means me. I would love to hear from you because this is a labor of love, and just knowing that it's a value to you makes it all worth it. I will remind you, as always, that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.